or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 3rd, 2014. Monty Mulkey is the speaker of the service, teaching on Do All Things Without Complaining.
Amen? Amen. Pastor Monty Mulkey, would you please come? The rest of the evening is yours.
Amen. Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad to see all some of you first-timers here tonight. You don't look like I thought you would either. I'll let you in on a secret. Remember Sharon told you all to just relax? That's because she's a nurse and the needle goes in easier if you relax. She paved the way for me, and so I'm going to give you the needle tonight.
That's good.
And like the good nurse says, this might sting a bit, but it's for your good. And your dad says, this is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. No, not really. Let me say, though, first of all, that I love all of you. Okay, so it's not a message that is condemning in any way, shape, or form. It's my desire to see God's people get set free, to procure the favor of the Lord, and to grow spiritually. We're going to look at an area tonight that blocks people from having these things. And aren't you tired of sickness and death and wonder where God's favor is at? Well, this is one area that the enemy sneaks in on us and causes us to get involved in that brings about the disfavor of the Lord. And let me begin the message tonight by reading you a story. This is from somebody else that I'm going to share with you to jump into this message. And it goes like this. She says, I once come upon a girl whose boat had gone aground. She was waiting for someone to come along and to dig her out. Well, I suggested that she remove a few items from her load, from the boat, so that the boat would ride higher in the water and maybe it would float then. But she kept arguing, no, I can't do that. Every item I have is necessary. Well, do you want to move on? I asked. Well, I have to move on. I can't stand it here, she said. I said, well, okay, maybe if we both push together, we could get the boat out far enough for the current to take you. But look at the mud. And, you know, poisonous snakes hide in the mud. Besides that, I don't want to get my feet dirty. Well, I saw a wharf up the river a few miles. Perhaps you could walk up there and hire or get another boat. Well, where would I find the money to hire a boat? Well, I saw a help wanted sign at the dock. I don't want to work on a dock. Besides, I can't leave my belongings. Somebody would steal them. So you're just going to stay here and do nothing? What else can I do? I've tried everything. Eventually, I just left her sitting there, waiting for somebody that was willing to take on her load. And her last words as I pulled away were, where are you going? I need your help. Why can't I find somebody to help me? The truth is, only a complainer can stand being around another complainer very long. Because we all look about and we think about, we don't like being caught in conversations or being around people that complain. Right? But we all do it. Now, when I first, as a pastor, first time I preached this message, I did a message on called murmuring, the spirit of murmuring. And I found something out. Christians don't murmur. Nobody had a problem with murmuring. I thought, this is really weird, you know. So I changed the title and changed a few words. And I was like, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden, it was a different story, because we all complain. And what happens is, that's the work of the enemy in our life, getting us to complain about things that we think should be different, or we don't like, whatever it is, and we complain, and it brings about the disfavor of God, as well as opening the door for the enemy to come against us. Maybe you're not a complainer today, but the devil may try and make you into one. But chronic complainers, they're people that have behavioral problems. And they tend to think that it's their job to point out all the problems in the world, while it's your job to fix them. Many complainers have a helpless spirit. They feel helpless, and they don't understand even the first step in the problem-solving process. And the trick in dealing with the complainer is to get them to think as a problem solver without allowing them to draw you into their constant complaining. One thing that I found helps is that to teach people that a person's own happiness, your personal happiness, is your personal responsibility. And everybody wants something else to make them happy. God, make me happy. Or I'm going to get married, find a spouse, so I'll be happy. It doesn't work that way. No one can make you happy. It's your job. No thing can make you happy. It's your job. That is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're miserable, you don't have to raise your hand tonight, but if anybody's miserable, it's your fault. It's your job to make yourself happy. Not your spouse, not your parents, not your pastor, not the government. They'll never make you happy. You have your Bible. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's open with that. Philippians 2 verse 12. And it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Okay, now, it's a good pastor. We got to stop there and chase this rabbit. It's not talking about work out your salvation to get saved, because that's a free gift. Salvation is a word in the Greek and Hebrew that means it's all-inclusive, which means to work out your life, to become more like Jesus Christ, your own deliverance, your own healing, and so forth. It's not talking about getting saved, it's what happens after you enter into the kingdom of heaven. "For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." Do some things if you feel like it. Thank you. You have your own reading. "Do all things without murmuring and disputings." King James uses the word murmuring. Other translations have used complaining. And that, in essence, is what it is. Do all things without complaining. Try that. Ask the Holy Spirit to be a guard for you and to see how far in the day you can get without complaining about something. Monday morning comes. I have to go to work today. No, you get to go to work today. Now, I have to. There's a lot of people who would love to and can't. Do all things. Now, that's a big job. You can work on that the rest of your life. Do all things. Why? Verse 15, "that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke." This is a requirement for Christians. Christianity 101. If you're to attend that university, this is what they teach you. Do all things without complaining. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, that's why we complain. Well, look at that. You know how long it took me to get my drink from the drive-thru today? Why can't they hurry up, you know? That would be complaining. And guess what? That's what a perverse, wicked nation is going to do to you. All good will be opposed. Whatever you set out to do, you can expect the world around you to offer you oodles of things to murmur and complain about. How are you to react? As average Christian, well, we're going to complain about it. That was a horrible place. I'm never going back there. I'll tell a story. I preached this at my church once, and one of the guys there, he said he went to a restaurant, and he began to treat the owner, who was the lady of the restaurant, he began to treat her, and just complimented her. And she jumped all over him. This is the owner. And you go, wow, this spirit is quite a thing. And so he said, you know, my normal reaction would be, I'm not going back there. So he went back the next day. Saw her again, complimented her again, over everything. After about 4 days, she came up to him and apologized and thanked him for the way he was as such a courteous customer there now. We're the light unto the world, and we are to do all things without complaining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a place that we stand up for what's right and so forth, but you can do it in the right spirit. Some translations say, do all things without grumbling. I like to use the term whining. I love the sign. No whiners allowed. What is complaining, though? Well, it means, this is a dictionary definition, it says to express feelings of pain, dissatisfaction, or resentment. To make a formal accusation. Synonym to it is to grumble, to whine. Those are terms for expressing dissatisfaction or discomfort. I think all humans do this, no matter what it is that we're doing, whatever we're involved in, we have to look at all the things that are wrong in our eyes. Or, well, if I was in charge, I'd do this differently. I said, well, if you're in charge, you can run it your way. And some people come in and they just want to complain. Everything about the campground. I don't know why we have to do this, why we have to do that. Well, because they've done it for so many years, they found out this is the best way that works for them to run it this way. And when you own and operate and run your own campground, guess what? You can run it your way. And it's so relaxing, it's so enjoyable when you go do something and don't complain about it. But thank you for your labor of love for cooking me this great meal, whatever it would be. To whine is to complain in a mean-spirited, objectionable way using a nasal tone. The dictionary says. It often suggests persistence to whine like a spoiled child. How many of you work with chronic complainers? Seems like every workplace has them. People for whom the weather is always too warm or too cold, the boss is a jerk, food's lousy, work just terrible, you know, and you fill out the list. No matter how good things are, no matter how good things get, they still only see the bad. And they go to huge lengths to point it out to other people. Negative people are actually highly contagious. One chronic complainer can easily get an entire department down. This is the same in church, too. What does the Bible have to say about complaining? The Greek word translated complainer means literally one who is discontented with his lot in life. Complaining is not a fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it's detrimental to peace, joy, and patience, which all come from the Holy Spirit. For the Christian, complaining is destructive and debilitating personally. It takes away your witness to the world. Who, for instance, would be attracted to a religion whose adherents were dissatisfied with life and who continually grumble and complain? The churches wonder why the membership goes down. Yeah, the first complainer in the Bible was Adam. After he and Eve disobeyed, Adam complained. God's this woman you gave me. We read a lot about complainers with Moses, the children of Israel. We also know of the complaints that David offered up to the Lord in the Psalms. But clearly, as believers, we are challenged to not grumble or complain. Rather, we are to love one another so deeply that we become blameless and pure in the midst of a crooked generation. Actually, if we grumble and complain, it still shows us how worldly we are. Just like them in the world. The complaining spirit leads to fighting and quarreling, because complaints come from unfulfilled desires, which often lead to envy and strife. And that was one of the root of the problems with the sons of Israel. Why they wanted to get rid of their brother Joseph. There is a place to voice a complaint to God. Like, God listens to us, and when there are things that He wants us to come talk to Him, but it's definitely wrong to complain about God. And if you're going to complain, that would be the last thing I put on the list, okay? If you want to get in trouble quicker, sooner, it would be complain about God or complain to Him how He's running His universe. But the issue of complaining in our culture, though, is it's a general problem. It has a problem with complaining. Because, see, we've become a very self-centered people. And tonight I want to look at some reasons why or where the complaining spirit comes from. Because often if we could take things and break it down and get at the root of the tree, we can get victory over certain things. And I also want to show you in some areas what complaining costs us. Because it literally brings about sickness, death, and the disfavor of God. I'm sure you read the verse that says, praise Him in all things. And you thought, how in the world can I praise God in all things? Get rid of your spirits of complaining. It works. Number one, let's get a look at that. I got about a list of about 10 different things. I mentioned it already. Self-centeredness. It's a self-centered spirit. It's a type of spirit. It's kind of like being a spoiled brat or a princess spirit. To be a non-complainer means we will probably stand out. It will often, though, earn you the right to speak into somebody's life. You know, when a complainer really says, you know, I want help with something, who are they going to go to? Not to the person that's been complaining about them. They're going to go to someone who they think will love and accept them. One problem with self-centeredness is that I can't understand what God is doing in my life. All I can see is what makes me unhappy. You know, God is at work in each and every one of our lives. And He did not put you on this planet to make you happy. That's a good starting place. God did not put you here to make you happy. He put you here to make you holy. There's a big difference. Pursuing holiness develops a God-centered character. But pursuing happiness adds to your self-centeredness, and it never develops good character qualities. That's part of our problem as Americans, because we see we have that in our foundation, you know, the pursuit of happiness. And it is an inalienable right. But that's not how God sees it. It's a really twisting of words in a way. You have the right to pursue God in whatever way you choose to do so, however you want to worship or serve Him. I could spend a whole night on just self-centeredness. It's just a, you know, when you go to the restaurant and you look at that, you just look at the menu. You don't actually get to see what it is that you're going to have, and you see this whole list of things. I'm just going to give you a list of things tonight, and then you can pick and choose which one you want to eat on and get deliverance from. So number two is entitlement. Now, they have been pushing entitlement into this country for so many generations. I almost, I would say, fear for the next generation, because they've picked up so much entitlement in the schools and from this world that people think they're entitled to be happy. And you kind of know where it started? It started with, well, it started from the devil, pardon. But one thing that put it into our culture was a little jingle from one of our fast food restaurants that says, have it your way.
Oh, yeah.
And you went home and tried that with Mom, and what did you get? You eat what we put on the table and be thankful for it. Right? There is a spirit of entitlement in the world, and it also is connected with self-centeredness, and it produces complaining. Complaining is the fruit of entitlement thinking. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. There is an entitlement, and they began to murmur, well, we should be taking care of for our needs, to the point that they wanted them to leave off their duties to go take care of this. It was the mid-1970s that popular food chain came out with the slogan, you can have it your way. It also loosed a spirit of entitlement in practically everything in our lives. People drive down the freeway and they see the billboard with the bright new shiny new car. You deserve a new car today. One of my kids are going up, well, I want my new car. It's like, when you can pay for it, you can have it. It's really simple. If you can pay for it, you can have a new car. If you can't pay for it, you don't deserve a new car.
Right.
Entitlement opens the door and puts people into debt. You don't deserve a new car if you can't pay for it. But we think, well, I'm in America. You know, I deserve a new car just like anybody else. No, life is not about deserving. And so we complain about, why can't I have a new car like my parents? Well, because they worked 30 years for it. You can have whatever you can pay cash for. You've earned it. Congratulations. But entitlement makes us think that we should have something when we haven't worked for it. We don't deserve it. And we feel, well, we're entitled to this. It's set up in the minds of some that not only can they have it, whatever it is, their way, but along with the belief, came the thing that, well, then they have the right and the responsibility to complain about everything in their lives. The developed worldview is complaining and criticism of the world which owes me my right, rather than God character which comes through godly behaviors, and complaining is nigh under provocation of God. It is. When we complain, we become murmurers against what God is doing in our life. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, you know that word when is italicized, but it means several things. It's like eventually they're going to complain. Or every time they complained, it displeased God. Aren't you glad God doesn't complain about you and I? He'll point things out, but he doesn't complain of that. That's a solid point. When we complain, we displease God. Now, do you think God's going to do all these nice, favorable miracles for you when he's displeased with you? It displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Now, this wasn't the lost heathen, the world. This was his people. They complained, he heard it, and he got angry. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outermost parts of the camp. It's a sobering message, but that's okay, because tomorrow you're going to think about this. I put the needle in tonight. It's amazing what it does. You're going to start to go, and that's good, because that's how you start resisting
that's right.
the enemy.
That's right.
Then you're not, I'm not going to say anything about that. It's none of my business anyway. If it ain't your business, you definitely have no right to complain about it. I mean, how many would be full of joy? You know, I like joy. I like peace. No stress. If you left off just complaining, it will radically change your life. Meatloaf again? Your food will change radically. Complaining won't get you very far. It definitely won't get you anywhere with God. The spirit of entitlement was the first lie told a man. when the devil expressed to Eve, you can be like God. As long as we live believing that we can have it our way, we will be disappointed and complaining, believing that God is withholding something from me, something that I'm entitled to have. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 tells us to not harden our hearts when we hear His voice. And complaining pushes you down that path. You start hardening your heart toward God. A hard heart comes through a self-centeredness rather than Christ-centeredness. Third area is religious spirits. I tell you, the Christians are more complaining than the world is. And literally, if you look at the average Christian, they're no different. They live no differently than the world. We are to live differently. We are to be differently. And if you just never complain about anything at work, they're going to see that you're different. Religious pride, spiritual pride, and it comes out of legalism, out of judgmentalness. Often it's a critical, fault-finding spirit. I tell you, whiners need a lot and lot of deliverance. Because there's so many areas, if you're a chronic whiner or complainer, that you need deliverance in. And it's just time to grow up. Mature Christians don't whine, they don't complain. They don't point out faults in everything that they see, because there isn't anything on this earth that doesn't have a fault, a failure or something, or couldn't be done better. Until we get to heaven, we're living in a corrupt world. Everything has a fault and a failure or something in it. And God didn't appoint you to point it out to everybody else. I see no positions in the church of fault finding or pointing it out. You know? Really? Luke 19:2 says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the crowd, for the press, because he was little, kind of like me, short in stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, or I'm going to your house today. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they were all so happy and excited and pleased that Jesus went to visit Zacchaeus. Oh, no, it doesn't read that. It says, then they saw it and they all murmured, oh church, who gave them? Who do they think they are? I don't know why God gives them so much deliverance. He never gave me that kind of deliverance. Like, I have to fight and fight and fight, you know, and it's like they walk in once and blip. I don't know why Christians have to become so complaining when God blesses somebody else. Your natural reaction, your first instinct should be, I am so happy for you. And if that's not the first thing that comes up inside you need deliverance. I was there, I know. It took me some years where I could, somebody come in and say, guess what, Pastor? Guess what God did for me this week? And I could, out of my heart, genuinely say, I'm so happy for you. That is fantastic. That's great. Why don't you come share? Share the blessing, you know. Tell everybody what God did for you. And I have a Catholic church that goes, move to the other side. Mark 14:3. And being in Bethany, I'm showing this under the section of religious spirit because that's what's going on. They're following Jesus. Being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it out on his head. And there were some there that had indignation within themselves. Of course, the really spiritual ones didn't say a thing, but they still had the indignation. It may come out of your mouth, but you know, if it's in your heart, you're still a complainer. And that's where the spirits lodge. I mean, we want to get this so that we don't have indignation in our heart when we see somebody ministering. They said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And you can read the rest of the story. But you know, they could have said, you know what? Here, we'll give you the value of that. All they could do is find fault and murmured. The scripture says, the letter killeth, but the spirit bringeth life. Religious spirits, the legalism. Well, I don't watch TV like they do. Fine, maybe it's not a problem in their life. Maybe God asked you to quit because it would be a problem in your life. But we become complainers because God asked us to do something, and so we expect everybody else to be the same way. Whatever happened with, why don't you just do what God tells you to do? And stay out of everybody else's business. It's amazing.
Come on.
We give a time at our church for people to get testimonies of things that God has done, and was blessed because there was one of my young ladies come up and shared, and she said, you know, Pastor Monty's always talking about personal responsibility and to drop a circle and so you could visualize what is in your life that you are responsible to God for, and if they're not in that circle, it's not your responsibility to take care of them. So I'm starting to get it. And I'm starting to see, you know, that I'm not responsible for other people's problems. Now, you can step out of the circle and help someone, but not your burden, not your responsibility. And people get caught up in other people's offenses, and they take on problems and things which is none of your problems. The most you should do, if you see a problem, just say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. They need the Lord's wisdom how to deal and maneuver through this or to work out of it. Religious spirits cause more complainers. I'm just listing these. When I get to the end, we're going to call them all out. Okay? Fourth area I wrote down is not knowing how to deal with their negative emotions. And this is arrested development. And if you're new to deliverance, you don't know what arrested development is, get the books. Okay? I've probably got 10, 15 teachings on arrested development. What that is you haven't grown up. And I'm sure you all know somebody who's 40 or 50 years old and they still act like they're 10. Okay? Or their emotions are 10 or whatever. That's the rest of development. Not growing up and living or acting your age. That's a real freedom. The world always wants you to be 20 and whatever. It's actually great to be your age. I'm enjoying it. I'm almost old enough to retire. But there is no retirement, so I could complain about that one doing it. Something you know, one of the guys in my church is called Stan, and he does the titling on our messages. And so he says, Monty, what's your title for tonight? And I go, Spirit of Complaining. He stopped me from me. He said, I don't know why you got good messages like that. And then that's his humor. And then he just turned around and laughed. He almost got me going. He's really quick-witted. Complaining spirit just shows that our mind needs regulated. Hebrews 13:5 says, and be content with such things as you have. Job. Read the book of Job. Job was really a good example. In Job 9:27, it goes, if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and just comfort myself. And in Job 10:1, he says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou hast contentest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou should oppress, that thou should despise the work of thy hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? And read the whole book of Job, because it wasn't until the end of Job that Job finally figured it out, because you know, Job's friends, he had three friends, I think all Christians have these three friends, you know, that come in and they're the, this is in the religious area, because they're going to come in and show you where you're doing it wrong. And God's against you. Well, Job was opposing them, going back and forth, so they were literally complaining to each other about each other. And finally Job figured it out, and toward the end he says that he prayed for the captivity of his friends, and his changed. People come to me and often for deliverance. And they'll come in and say, you know, I came here because my spouse needs deliverance. I go, oh, really? I've never met them, you know. But, yes, could you agree with me that they would get delivered? I said, well, yeah, we can, but first of all, you're here tonight, let's pray for you. But I don't have any problems. I don't have any demons. I told you it's my spouse that has demons, and they're really... I said, well, yeah, I understood you, and we can pray for them, but let's pray for you first. Well, I don't see how that would do any good. I don't have any problem. I said, well, just, you know, let's go along with me. Wouldn't you like the Lord to bless you? Well, yeah, okay, well, let's pray. And usually they pray. We pray, they get some deliverance. And then they come back again and they go, I just don't understand this, Pastor. I don't get this. You prayed for me and they changed. I said, yes, I know, it's a miracle. The devil wants us to complain about those other people. They're just robbing my happiness, my joy. They're taking it all away and it's all their fault. And if they would change, I could have a happy, nice, peaceful life.
Yeah.
Guess who's got the problem?
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. It's us. I promise you, if you get delivered, other people will change.
That's right. That's right.
They will change how they react to you, how they respond to you. If you get rid of your demons, you can be a friend to the entire world. It's amazing. And people will actually love you and treat you differently. Caesar. Julius Caesar, he once planned a party. And wouldn't you know it? He served other gods, okay? The day that he planned the party, it rained. And he was so mad at his god was Jupiter. And so he ordered his men to shoot arrows up in the sky at Jupiter. This is true. And guess what? The god of gravity got the arrow straight back down and killed all the men in the shot. Yeah, their arrows fell a little short of heaven. And not only did they get rain, but they also got arrows on their own head. You know, it's the same with our muttering and murmuring and complaining. As if you're going to complain to God, and guess where it's going to land? Right back on your own head. So I just ask you, who and what are you whining and complaining about in your life? And how is your life doing? Number five, it's a childish, arrested development spirit, often tied in with self-pity or spoiled brat spirit. Number six is a perfectionistic spirit, or prideful spirit, one that's never satisfied. Every one of these that I'm giving you can be the root of the reason that you would look to complain about something. And all it takes is one. And if you've got six out of six so far, you'll be here. Number seven, it could be rooted in fear. Psalm 55:1 says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, hear me, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in their wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lois, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in this city. Fear and terror was that part of the root of the psalmist in his complaining. Psalm 106, verse 25, it says, but they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you, you can't murmur and complain in silence. You can't even murmur and complain about your pastor in silence. The Bible says a little bird will take it to him. I've had a lot of little birds come visit me. Complainers, though. We see how they operate in this verse. They murmured in their tents, and they hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. That means they won't listen to God. In fact, usually complainers won't listen to anyone, because they know they're right and you're wrong. And that's just pride. Got to keep my status. Unteachable spirit, coupled with arrested development. I'm helpless and I don't want to take responsibility for my own life. I don't know why God can't give me a more loving husband. Then I could be happy, full of joy. They could attend unto me. I've got two CDs that talks about the princess spirit. Call me. Sorry, guys have it too. Lord, this wife you gave me. I've been there, folks. Sharon and I got into deliverance because we said, you know, we were ready to divorce. We were 21. I was 21. I'd already spent 5 years with her, my childhood sweetheart, from the age of 15, and we said, you know, we're going to try this deliverance stuff. It's the only, if this doesn't work, then okay, that's it. And 3 weeks later, no, years later, as God worked us both over, line by line, precept upon precept, God kept our marriage together. I'm so happy. Deliverance really has given me everything in life. I grew up in a family of complainers. I mean, they were professionals. And they didn't do it in front of other people. It's when we went home and at the supper table, you know, in front of the kids, you know, they would just, we talked about people and all their wrongs, you know. I would go to Sharon's house, her parents, and it was so odd because they never, ever talked about people. Both Sharon's parents were teachers, gifted school teachers, and they loved people and teaching, and I never heard them complain about other people. And I thought, wow, this is really a different way to live. Then I met her grandmother, who was a giver. I never met a giver in my whole entire life. She'd come in and give, bring things in, give us things, you know, and I go, what do you want? There had to be a book in that, you know, there had to be something. What do you want from me, you know, because you're giving me something. It's so great to get rid of all that garbage. God has made me into a giver. He did the same for you. John 6:61 says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said unto them, does this offend you? You got to picture this. I love the humor of the Lord, you know. Because they thought they could do this in secret. You know, they're in their tents murmuring about the way Jesus is doing something. And he turns around and goes, does this offend you guys? And you know, they argued through the entire New Testament all the way up into the book of Acts. They were arguing over which one of them was the greatest. I did a spirit on the, you know, being bit by the great bug one day. And I started running the references like here, 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 here. Wow. The disciples, grown men of God who were literally walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, every chance they get, they were all fighting and bickering and bragging over which one of them was going to be the greatest. They were that way the entire time that they were with Jesus. That spirit does not die easy. People want to be great. And great people complain about everything that's not great. A complaining spirit causes displeasure with the Lord. Lamentations 3:19 says, "Wherefore does a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins." Let me translate that a little bit for you. If you're going to complain, you will be punished. Yeah, but it's wrong. They should do it better. That might be true, but it's not your position to complain. It's not your job to fix somebody else's problems or to fix other people's wrongs. Isn't that relieving? Wow. You don't have to play Holy Spirit anymore. If you complain, God will punish you. Well, that's not right. Who says? Numbers 11:1. And when the people complained and displeased the Lord, his anger was kindled and he sent fire at them. Yeah. Evil lusting causes one to quarrel with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yet complaining spirit often is a lustful spirit. It thinks that it would have pleasure in things that is denied. Israel had manna, the cloud, the fire by day, the cloud by night, vice versa, the other one thing. But instead they wanted leeks and lemons. Oh, I'm so tired of this miracle life. This miracle food every day, God just sends it to me. I don't have to work that hard to go get it. I just have to get up and go get it. I don't know why he can't have his angel just bring it to my tent. Oof, yeah. And why do I have to do it every day? I mean, it's like, can I pick up 2 days' worth? I mean, there's plenty that's not here. And so it turned to maggots when they tried that. Jude, little book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. So a murmurer or a complainer, root of it is walking after their own lust. I want this. I want this better. I want this best. I want this bestest. Bad grammar, good preaching, isn't it? And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of the advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. Guess what? Scripture says if you're a chronic complainer, you separate yourselves. That is, nobody wants to be around a complainer, so you end up separate. You're sensual, and you don't have the Spirit of God. Or you may have the Spirit of God, you may be saved and so forth, but you're certainly not walking in the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. We're not in the love of God when we're complaining about something. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Of others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire that comes after you complain, right? He hated even the garments spotted by the flesh. And Scripture is just full of illustrations where it talks about the effects and what happens when we complain. To set an imaginary value on something that you don't have is childish, foolish, pettish. Think it causes people to think that, well, if I had a lot of money, if I had things, people would treat me differently. It's an ungratefulness to God. and it leads to rebellion. A complaining spirit finds no pleasure for itself, even when it's fulfilled. Now, when you're dissatisfied, nothing's ever good enough. And kids pick that up from their parents, and they grow up to be the same way. And in answer to foolish, lustful prayers, God often sends leanness. Consider the children of Israel when they murmured and complained about the miracle manna. It gave them what they wanted until they were sick of it. Numbers 11:20 says, "But even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because you have despised the Lord which is among you." I mentioned when I started three things, and Scripture shows three things evidently: sickness, death, and the loss of favor of God. 1 Corinthians 10:5, it brought death. It says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now these were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. The people sat down to eat, drink, rose up to play, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. And neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. I thought about that one. That's quite a list. Idolatry, fornication, and complaining. Well, I'm not causing anybody harm or trouble, you know. I'm just pointing out the obvious, the things that are wrong and need to be fixed. God says in the same list or category as an adulteress. I would never do that. I'm a Christian. But we think somehow that we're entitled to complaining, to point out things that are wrong all the time. And Corinthians tells us, you know what? There was a group of Christians, God's people, way back then. This is how God dealt with them, and He put it in His Word for our examples. And we should be able to open up the Word of God, read it, and say, "I don't want that to happen to me." And we say, "I don't want to do what the children of Israel did." Now, some people say, "Well, I have to experience it firsthand." You go right ahead and complain that. These were written, these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Psalm 102, verse 1. "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed, and he poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as in a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin." We could say, which came first, the sickness or the complaining? And we know it brings a disfavor of God. You lose the blessings of miracle life. I mean, to walk in divine health, life, is a blessing from God. It does bring about sickness. I mean, even science, even the medical establishment tell you that joyful, happy people recover quicker than ones that are full of self-pity or depression or complainers. And just see the person going into the hospital for heart surgery, you know, and they're complaining about the color of the wallpaper. People do that. They come into church and they go, "Yeah, look at the carpet. My gosh, I don't know why they can't do that. They've had the same carpet now for 6 months." I had that one. That's why I'm preaching that one. I told them, "We will gladly receive a new carpet from you." "Oh, I don't want to pay for it." I said, "Well, then put up. You didn't come here to look at the carpet. You come here to get deliverance. We know how to do that." See, that's just what demons do. That how they get you complaining. They've distracted you from away from the blessing. Yes, they didn't get any deliverance either. The person that drags in said, "I'm so thankful to finally get here. Oh, I worked and worked. I took, spent all my money to get to this meeting. I praise God that I'm here." And God just showers them with deliverance. Because their heart is right. They're joyful. They're thankful about it. It creates a weariness. Psalm 142, verse 1. A prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walk had a privately laid snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. The psalmist points out, I think to me, this is the correct way. As a Christian, if we look at things that are wrong in our life, you know, and we would like to complain, we would like to do everything, but we should be like the psalmist, which turns to the Lord and said, Lord, this is going on in my life, Lord. I'm not coming because I'm complaining, Lord. I'm coming because I need your help, God. Deliver me, heal me, whatever needs to. Psalm 77, verse 3 says, I remembered God, I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be overwhelmed anymore. I'm getting older. I really enjoy peace. Really enjoy rest, clear conscience, and the good things. And one way that I found is I quit looking for faults. I quit looking for wrong things. I quit looking for things to complain or be negative about. It's amazing. We sing a song. I know you guys sing it here as well. And everybody knows it, I think, quite well, but there's sometimes when we sing a song, we sing, it takes away from the entire thing that was going on. And I want to show you this, and this will probably forever change this little chorus you do. In Lamentations 3, verse 39, we looked at it earlier. It says, wherefore does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Why do people complain? Yeah. And what does it say behind that? Verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now maybe we sing that one again. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. But it's based on what the complainer needs to do. We just like the song because it's, you know, it's very jolly. Turkey and all that, but actually, this is a verse for complainers to learn. If you're tired of your punishment, search and try your ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. I've given you so many verses, and there are many more. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring. Now, you're not going to start out tomorrow being an expert at it and hit 100%. Might take you a couple of days. Now, you're going to have to work on it. You can pray, Lord, put a guard by my mouth. Expose in me, Lord, my wicked way. Expose in me, Lord, help me guard my mouth. And you can begin to keep your mouth. You can begin to change your heart. I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to talk about the quality of the food, the weather, the clothes the people wore, didn't wear, whatever. You know, I'm just not going to go there. And it's amazing how much freer life will get when you just choose, you know, I don't need to complain about it. It's none of my business. Now, if they come and ask you a question, do you think I should wear clothes? You can respond, but it's not complaining. You can tell me, well, you know, the scripture does have a few things to say about nudity.
Okay.
me? Does this dress make me look? I'm going to go there. I want to attempt to live beyond complaining in order to better understand what God is attempting to develop in me. If you choose to line up your life with how the Bible tells you to live, God will bless you. He will pour out His Spirit, His life. He'll go before you and straighten out the crooked places. Isaiah 29:24 says, "They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." Complainers, Christians that are complainers, really aren't very spiritual. They think they are. Philippians 2:14, do all things. I want to encourage you to do that. One way you can do that, if you can't just stop complaining, then more than likely you've got spirits of it. And you just tell it to go whenever it rises up. Take personal responsibility for your reactions, your attitudes toward other people and things. It's a personal responsibility. Psalm 144, verse 1 said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." God wants you to learn how to fight your areas, deal with your areas. Not, "Well, my husband won't help me clean the house." Then do it yourself. Hire a maid. And a cook, and a butler, whatever you can. Maybe a quick complaining. Quit trying to force other people to change, because it's just destroying the relationship. And it's making God angry at you. And it stirs up physically a whole reaction. You know, God did not create us, our body, to handle negative emotions. Only a short burst of it. If you are a person with chronic fear, bitterness, resentment, all that, complainers tend to move into that. You're destroying yourself because all that produces an acid which is toxic inside your body, and you literally become sick. And there's a lot in this. And actually, if you really are serious and you want help, I've probably got a good 20 or 30 different messages that will go right along with this, like changing your attitudes. Complainers are destroying their own self with the acid from their chronic bitterness, anger, or whatever. You're to live at peace with all mankind. Owe no man nothing but love. Accept people just as they are. And that means if they will never change, that has to be all right with you. So I like my spouse, but I wish they would change. This. That's not love then. Love is accepting them as if they will never, ever change the rest of your life. And you know, when you start loving people that way, just the way they are, with no expectation that they change so they can somehow earn your love, they'll react to you differently. Because people know when love is genuine. And you know, I've mentioned arrested development a couple times, and I say it to myself, it's just an issue, it's time that we grow up. It is just not Christian. It does not represent Jesus Christ to be a murmurer and complainer and to find fault with everything. Especially if you're not going to do anything about it. It's one thing to see something that could be done differently or better, then offer to help or do something. Say, "Hey, you know, I know how to fix this. Can I do this? Can I help you guys out?" But if you do it in the spirit and attitude of love and not complaining, they may say, "Oh, praise God, we've been praying for somebody and we don't know what to do with that." But when you complain, all you get met with is resistance. That's part one of the message. Let me add a couple more things in before I quit here tonight. Because some of you may be living with a complainer. Let me give you 5 tips how to handle a complainer. Number one, never try to solve their problems. Any solution that you propose will only be met with more complaints and 1,000 reasons why it wouldn't work. you should not have been out. Number two, never verbally agree with a complainer. And see, that's what Christians do, you know. They go to work, they hear maybe from the world complain, and they come right into that same spirit. Even if you do agree with them, don't admit your complaint, your agreement. Complainers usually take agreements as an invitation to complain more. Number three, whenever complainers grumble, ask them open-ended questions designed to get them thinking about the problem and the problem-solving process. Open-ended question includes a question that cannot be answered with, you know, just a yes or no. The best questions usually begin with who, what, why, where, how. Questions like, so what do you want to do about it? So what do you think caused that? So why haven't you spoken to people involved? You know, ask them the question to get them motivated to do something. Number four, resist all of your natural impulses to offer them some suggestions. Kind of like the first one. Every suggestion you make will only be met with more reasons why suggestions never work. Just respond with a question. Put the responsibility for changing their situation on them. Number five, if you want to end the conversation, but they keep talking, set a time limit. Tell them something like, I need to go in a few seconds, so what exactly do you need to tell me before I go?
And then go.
And usually after that, you can gently disengage the conversation. One question I do a lot, people will come and but they just want on and on and on, and this isn't right, and that's wrong, and I say, but what would you have me to do? I want you to whatever. And see, once they bottom line it, I can then respond with a yes or no. Like, oh yes, I can do that for you, or no, I can't do that. That's your own problem, you have to. And that ends the conversation there. You see? Above all, resist offering complainers solutions or answers. So just simply respond to everything with a question. And by continually asking questions, you can sometimes get grumblers to start looking for answers on their own. And who knows, they might even come up with a solution. Like, Pastor Monty is so wise. What do you think I should do? And I'm like, well, what did God tell you to do? Well, he told me to do, and then I said, well, maybe you should go do that then. If he told you to do that, then I'm not going to keep going on me. I don't want involved in that. You go do what God told you to do. Oh, okay. Wow. It's wisdom. Mostly, though, they usually just shake their head and they go off and try to complain to somebody else. You'll have to guard. As you start getting rid of your own complaining, you'll have to guard because the devil will send other complainers into your life to draw you into it, get you sucked into it, so you can start complaining. And before that, you weren't even thinking about it because, well, it had nothing to do with your world. It was their life and whatever, and now you're somehow having to solve their problems. I'll leave you one final tip. If you're a parent and you have children who are adults and they are responsible for the care of their own life, you don't have to solve or fix their problems anymore. You're no longer the parent. You're the parent in parent, but your days of parenting are over. You don't have to pick up their offense or any of that and just say, well you know what, I pray for you. I hope things work out well. People meddle in other people's lives, which create and cause more relationship divisions to the place where there are family members who haven't spoken to other family members for over 20 years. And in deliverance, we see that all being brought back together. But I have to get the first person delivered to where they quit complaining to the other one. And they'll say, you know what, I just want to love you. I accept you as you are. I don't want to do this anymore. Really? Me either. And they hug each other, and it's like, getting rid of complaining will radically change your life. People will want to be around you, even God. Amen? I hope I've got you to thinking anyway. I know when we hear a sermon, it's so easy to say, oh, so-and-so needs this. This is for them. It's kind of like they call passing the hot potato. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, let me throw it on down the line. Now, I want you to own this one for yourself tonight and just say, Lord, if I do that, if I'm displeasing to you, show me, Lord, when I do it. And help me, Lord, to get victory over this. I don't want the enemy to steal from any of you. Stealing the good things that you can have. God wants to bless all his kids. Amen? Let's come before him and take authority over these wicked, nasty things that are trying to steal from us. All right? Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we admit to you that in the past we've murmured, we've complained, we've fault-found everything, Lord, that we've come into contact. Lord, we ask that you would set us free tonight from the spirit of complaining, murmuring, judgmentalness, pride, and all these things, Lord. Lord, we desire to have your favor in our life, your healing, your deliverance, your life, your blessings. In Jesus' name. Satan, we come against you. We count you as our enemy tonight. And I take authority over every one of you spirits in Jesus' name. You are to come out of God's people. Now, as I name these demons, just take a deep breath. Tell them in your mind to go. And they'll begin to come out. They'll come out with just a breath. Lord, I loose your angels to escort the demons out of the building. Take them out, Lord. Help the people in getting delivered in Jesus' name. Every spirit of complaining, come out right now. Murmuring, false finding. Nothing's ever good enough. All those demons that encompass the attitude in Jesus' name. The spirit of pride. I could do it better. I could do it more perfectly. Jesus' name. Entitlement. That's not good enough for me. Come on. All the entitlement spirit. Just take a deep breath. Breathe them out. If you're there, you don't want them. Come on. All the way out. Self-centeredness. Entitlement. Lustful spirits. Fearful spirits. Come on. All the way out. These spirits that think that they give you the right to complain about us. Come on, right now. In Jesus' name, read them out. Tell them to go. Come on. Complaining about your spouse, your loved ones, your kids, your parents. Come on. Move, your pastors. Come on. All the complaining. Nothing's never good enough. Come on. All the way out. Move. All these negative spirits in the mind. Jesus' name. Come on. All the way out. Move out. Arrested development. Jesus' name. Self-centeredness. Come on. All the way out. All this thinking in Jesus' name, only concerned about your own self, your own life, your own wants. Come on, the spirits of lust in Jesus' name. Come on, manifest and go, demons. You lose God's people. Come on, right now, all the way out. Father, in Jesus' name, I lose the spirit of gratefulness, the spirit of thankfulness in his name. Lord, it's thankfulness. We're thankful to Jesus in all things. In Jesus' name, move. I lose the personal responsibility, accountability for our own life. Our own words. Every idle word that we speak, we'll have to give account of. Come on. Move. Complaining spirit. Negative emotions in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear. Spirits of lust. Tell them to go. Breathe them out. Spoiled brat, princess spirit. Whatever your name is. Entitlement. Come out. All the way out. Move. Move. Well, I want it my way. I don't like it that way. I don't like my pancakes that way. Come on. Well, tough. Get over it. Come on. Come on. All the way out. Move out, demons. Come on. All this lust, all this complaining. Come on, all the way out. When the people complain and displease the Lord, come on, move. Perfectionist spirit. Perfectionist. The fear that the work of your hands is not good enough. Come on. Move. Perfectionism. Come on, all the way out. Arrested development. Heaviness. Jesus' name. Weariness. Come out. Prideful spirit. Religious spirits. Religious pride. Well, they damn, I don't know why they should. Come on, all the religious spirits. Spirits of bitterness, resentment, hatred, anger that you have toward other people, the unforgiveness toward other people that think you have the right to complain about because they did something you didn't approve of. Come on, let's go all that way out. All those demons that make you hold odd against somebody else. Come on, all the way out. Move out. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, do all things without murmuring or complaining. Come on, move. Move, that's everything. In Jesus' name, come on, Lord, bring them out of the prison. Bring them out of the prison house in Jesus' name. They think they have the right to complain how others are doing it or not doing it. Come on, all the way out. Move out, come on, move. Complaining, everything inherited. You become a complainer like your parents did and their parents. Come on, all the complaining that's come down the family lineage in Jesus' name. Come on, your soul will be weary of life. Come on, all the sickness, all the death. all the weariness in life caused by this, all the broken relationships that's been caused by the complaining, not liking how somebody else did it. Jesus' name, Lord, bring forgiveness, healing, restoration, if possible, Lord, restore the relationships that have been torn apart because of complaining. Jesus' name, marriages break up because of complaining. In Jesus' name, Father, all this destruction of relationships, the devil gets miles and miles out of your complaining. Jesus' name, move all of grief, sorrow, and sadness. Broken hearts has been caused over complaining of one another. In Jesus' name, come on, hold out. Lord, release a deep repentance and a thought into our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord. Bring to memory, Lord, things that we should fix. Bring to our mind, Lord, things, relationships that all we did was complain, and that's why they don't want to be around us anymore. Come on, let's go. Chronic complaining. Chronic complaining. Come on, the negative spirits, always fault-finding, always finding out, pointing out what's wrong. Come on, thinking it's your job. You have a ministry to point out what's wrong. Come on, there's no such ministry, by the way. Come on, get out. Come on, move. Negative, fault-finding. Come on, critical spirits. Come on, all the way out. Move, just breathe them out. The demons that are in your mind, just breathe them out. Tell them to go. Move it out, demons. Move out. Lord, it is more angels. Take them out. Come on. All the fruit of it, all death, spirits of death, sickness, weariness, in Jesus' name, I command that off the people. Lord, if people are battling any type of sickness tonight, I lose healing. Lord, touch them, heal them right where they sit tonight. As they clean their heart, as they search and try their ways and come before you, Lord, heal them of their sicknesses and clean their land, as you promised, Lord. If we will but walk in your ways, humble our hearts, Father, you will heal us, you will heal our land. In Jesus' name, Lord, we cry out unto you, Lord. We repent of our transgressions, Father, in Jesus' name. You demons, we order you to go. We resist you. You will no longer use my mouth to complain about something. In Jesus' name, come on, complain. Never good enough, never good enough, never right. Come on, all the way out. Move. All you can see is the wrong. All you can see is the wrong things. Come on, all the way out. That negative spirit, all you can see is what's wrong. Come on, all the way out. My spouse feels nothing I do is ever good enough. Come on, move. I can't ever please her. Come on, all that fault finding. Come on, move. Just breathe them out. Tell them in your mind to go. Breathe them out. Let's go. More angels. Come on, complaining. Move. Lord, I lose maturity. I lose the Spirit of the Lord into our lives, our hearts, to bring maturity in Jesus' name. Mature us, O Lord, that we can become the sons and daughters of God, that you would be honored, Father, to call that in Jesus' name. Lord, put your Spirit upon us, Father. Lord, I ask that you would put a guard by our mouth. If you have to take a coal off the altar, Father, and cleanse our lips in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your way. Lord, we lift up this entire weekend, Father, and ask that you would pour your Spirit out on us, Father, in Jesus' name, because we want that spirit of thankfulness, gratefulness. You have allowed us to come to a place, Lord, where we can get help. And Lord, we're thankful to you for that. We ask, Lord, that you let this entire weekend be a liberty to your people, Father, and that it will spread like a fire because of what you've done this weekend, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're grateful, we're thankful, Lord, and if we've ever complained, forgive us for doing that, Father. We love you, God, and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, you may need more deliverance on that as you go home, but you know what to do, right? Bring it captive, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and you say, you know what, I'm not going there. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for staying all night with me. You lasted the whole sermon. And Meryl, do you have anything else? Or with that, we will see you tomorrow morning. Have a good, restful night of sleep. Be 6 o'clock. That's a.m.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.